The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. My name is Dr. Peter James, and I am so excited that you all joined us this morning to be part of this radio show. It's a new year, it's a new decade, and we are here to think and grow rich. So welcome to the Think and Grow Rich with the International Mastermind Association show, folks. First and foremost, call 661-554-9219 if you would like to join us today or any Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time as we explore the success formula driven by Napoleon Hill in his best-selling classic book, Think and Grow Rich. If you are dialing in and you want to get involved in the show, you can press number one to raise your hand, and you will definitely be brought into the conversation. And today's show, we are hitting a reset button in this phenomenal book, Think and Grow Rich. And we are going to be starting at chapter one because we are in January. And this chapter one focuses on desire. And we have a special guest today to kick off this new year, to kick off this new decade. And Jessica Lundy, going to be bringing her in just a little while. But I can't start any show without introducing our distinguished guest, Ann Ursula Pagin. I'm so excited to have you all with us. So let's just go ahead and dive right in. Ann, I'm going to ask you the first question here today. Introduce yourself. Introduce the new year. Introduce this desire chapter. Go where you would like, Ann. Good morning to you.
Well, good morning, Peter, to you and all of our awesome guests as we kick off this awesome, phenomenal new year with Jessica Lundy, with you, Galen, in his absence today, Ursula, and welcome back, Pagin. Again, my name is Ann McMillan. I am the master builder, helping you to build a stronger and better life and business. And we use the McMill Factor Insights on the book Think and Grow Rich. And as a part of that, we host this radio show for, gosh, it's been over 10 years now. But as Peter said, as we start with the desire chapter, we want to encourage all of our listeners to think about your desire. What is it that you want? How much of it do you want? By when? Doing what? And what is your strategic plan? That's what this show today will be about. All of our shows are about the success principles espoused by Napoleon Hill, helping you to achieve that desire. So with that, Peter, I'll turn it back over to you, and I'm very excited because, Jessica, you're one of my very special people. So thank you, everyone.
Awesome, Ann. Thank you so much for jumping in. Those of you who don't know Ann, she is the backbone of this entire show. She is the brainchild of this entire show. So thank you so much for kicking us off. And Ursula, good morning to you today. Happy New Year. Happy New Decade. I hope you're doing well. But tell us about Desire. Tell us about yourself and kick us off again.
Good morning and happy New Year's to everyone. This is going to be a great year because, hey, it's 2020, you know, the vision, 2020 vision. And when you're talking about the things that we do, we have the plan, and that is Think and Grow Rich. So I'm so excited about this year and this decade. And I am Ursula Odom. I'm the CEO of Sula 2, and we make old, new, and everything that we do. In that, we capture, preserve, and present legacy information in any form possible, from book to documentary to a legacy wall. I am just so excited about your story. That's what I do. That's what we bring to you every Saturday, building your story.
Awesome, Ursula. Thank you so much for letting us know about you. Now it's time to shift over to our host, who I've been missing for the last few weeks, Tegeen. It is so exciting. I'm so excited to see you back with us. Happy New Year to you. Happy New Decade. How have you been? And tell us about the Desire in your life.
Thank you so much. I am so happy to be back. The desire in my life is to inspire, educate, and celebrate women leaders in business by providing them online tools, speaking at their conferences, coaching them to success. How awesome it is, because this is the decade of the woman. Yes. So I'm really excited. But Peter and Galen, I'm missing you. Without you, can't go to the next level. So I'm thrilled to be here. Love Think and Grow Rich. Ready to talk about Desire with Jessica Lundy. This is going to be a great show.
It is going to be a phenomenal show, Tegeen. Tegeen, I didn't know this was the year of the woman. I got to make sure I mentioned that a little bit more with clients and maybe even with the wife. I need to tell her that. I need to let her know that as well. But listen, folks, again, thank you so much for joining us. My name is Dr. Peter James. I am so excited about getting this new year started off. I am so excited about this chapter. And part of the reason, if you have not picked up this book, here's a little tidbit about this chapter in this book before we go into the first commercial break. Page 33 of this book is something that is near and dear to my heart. Page 33 going into 34. It says, there is a difference between wishing for a thing and being ready to receive it. You are never ready for a thing until you believe you can acquire it. The state of mind must be belief, not mere hope or wish. Open-mindedness is essential for belief. Closed minds do not inspire faith, courage, and belief. So with that, we're going to go into our first commercial break, which gives a little bit of detail about this book as it goes into the 13 principles. So without further ado, take a listen.
Number one is desire. Napoleon Hill said that everything starts with a burning desire, a compelling reason for doing what it is we do. Step two is faith. Having belief in our ability to attain that which we desire. Step three is what we call auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion simply means being very intentional about the things that we are pouring into our thoughts, into our brains, and into our consciousness. Our brains, our minds, will receive everything automatically. But we have to work extra hard to make sure that the positive things are what we are feeding ourselves, because those positive thoughts are going to turn into positive actions. Step number four is specialized knowledge. No one person knows everything, even about whatever their particular area of expertise might be. And the value of the mastermind principle is using the specialized knowledge of other people. Step number five is imagination, the workshop of the mind. Everything starts with our imagination and our thoughts. The burning desire to transform those thoughts into our reality. In order to do that, we have to take a look at step six, which is organized planning. That is how we crystallize our desire into action, organizing ourselves. Having the thought and not acting on the thought isn't going to get us anywhere. We have the thought, we go through the organized planning to transform that thought into action. Step number 7 is decision. What Napoleon Hill said is the mastery of procrastination. Napoleon Hill said that the antidote to procrastination is simply to make a decision and then move on that decision. Step 8 is persistence. We have to have a sustained effort, which is induced by our faith, in order to achieve our goals. One of Napoleon Hill's books I love, even the title, 3 Feet from Gold. Those people who became rich during the gold rush in the Wild Wild West days didn't do that because they were necessarily smarter or had better information than anyone else. It's because they stayed just a little bit longer. Sometimes people left when they were just literally 3 feet from gold. So hanging in there, being persistent, is step number 8. Step number 9, the power of the mastermind, the driving force. None of us can accomplish anything on our own. Everybody, I don't care who you are, from the most prominent person to the person who might be considered the lowest on the totem pole, everybody has someone who helped them get to where they are. And the power of the mastermind is being able to use those influences around us. Use the thoughts, use the knowledge, use the exploration of other people to help us in achieving our goal. Step number 10, the mystery of sex transmutation. This title can be a little confusing, but essentially what the mystery of sex transmutation means is that we oftentimes in our society think of sex as being purely physical. It is absolutely physical, but what Napoleon Hill teaches us is that sex also has an emotional element, and that sex is the strongest of our desires. That if we can take our sexual energy, transform that into positive, creative influences, it can propel us to new heights. And so we spend quite a bit of time talking about the mystery of step 10, which is sex transmutation. Step number 11 is the subconscious mind, which Napoleon Hill tells us is the connecting leap between our human mind and the infinite intelligence, the source of all thought, the source of all creativity. Conscious mind, we spent some time talking about how we use that through the influence of autosuggestion and what we're feeding into our mind. Step number 12, which is the brain, the broadcasting and receiving station of thought. Final step number 13, the sixth sense, the door to the temple of wisdom. This is the final step through which infinite intelligence may and will communicate voluntarily without any effort from or demands by the individual. The principle is the apex of the philosophy. It can be assimilated, understood, and applied only by first mastering the other 12 principles.
And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are back from our commercial break, which dove into the 13 principles as outlined by Napoleon Hill in his infamous book, Think and Grow Rich. Ladies and gentlemen, this is also the part of the show where we shift a little bit and focus on our special guest, Jessica Lundy. Jessica, good morning to you. How are you doing today?
I am fantastic, and I am so excited and so honored to be here with you guys today.
Awesome. Jessica, did you know it was the year of the woman?
You know what? It is definitely the year of the woman, but I believe it's really the year for anyone who is ready to set their desire and set their intention, and women seem to be pretty quick with that, so I think that might be why it's the year of the woman.
Good stuff. So I like how you positioned it. So that means I could still be successful this year. So it's awesome to hear that for sure. Jessica, I'm reading a little bit about you. I'm seeing coach. I'm seeing TV personality. I'm seeing pageants. I'm seeing award winner. I'm seeing prize winner. I don't even know where to start with you. But first of all, I just want to welcome you to the show this morning. And let's tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and then we'll go into the Think and Grow Rich text in just a little bit. So go ahead. The floor is yours.
Wow. Yeah, like you said, I have done quite a few things in my life, But I'm originally from Michigan. I recently moved to Atlanta. I was a TV host in Detroit. I actually competed with 1,200 people to be named the face of a TV network, where I was able to do local and national television. So that was an exciting experience, until one day I was asked to do a commencement. And that's when I realized that there was a shift and a desire that I had since I was 5 years old was to be a TV host. But then sometimes your life opens up to new opportunities. And I was, as I was speaking into the lives of these eighth graders, I realized that that's when I truly experienced joy. It wasn't from the standing ovation from the students and the parents and the superintendent. It really was the hope in the eyes of the students. I was working with at-risk youth. And I realized that that was really the reason I was created, and that has driven me ever since to create the Wake Up and Win with Jessica Lundy School Tour. So I'm very passionate. I'm very driven by desire, and I'm very honored to be here.
Awesome, awesome. I love the fact that you intentionally putting yourself in situations opened you up to other areas of your life that you didn't know you even had a desire for, that you had a passion for. So kudos to you for that. That's very awesome. Very, very awesome. But I also heard you mention desire a couple of times in your intro there as well. Extrapolate that a little bit. What has desire meant for you as you even go into your journey or reflect in your journey a little bit?
So I think it's important to get really intentional in the things that bring you joy. So I think a lot of times we can get into professions or pursue different things based on a monetary amount. But I've always pursued passion in a way that I wanted to do it all the time. Like, I didn't need to clock in 9 to 5 or work 40 hours a week. You know, that's when I realized what a burning desire was. It's something that will wake you up in the morning with intention, that will, you know, you'll be thinking about on the weekends, you'll be thinking about on your day off. And, you know, I think that really is the key to success. And the key to, you know, being something that drives you is, what is it that you can't live without? And a lot of people can't say that about their work, unfortunately. They're usually trying to say, like, oh, my God, it's Friday. Thank you, Jesus. but when you're aligned with your purpose, it really is your desire to succeed. It's your desire to be financially free. It's your desire to create a better environment for the next generation. So I learned at a very young age, thankfully I have a mother who's very, is a huge advocate for personal development. So she always told me that my desire and my passion would drive me to success.
I love that. I love your passion. I love what you were, kind of what you were saying, what we were put here on this earth for, to a certain extent. But then I even want to follow on that question with how do you make a decision about what you pick as a desire in your life?
There's a very important principle that I learned from one of my mentors, Jack Canfield, who wrote the Success Principles. And one of those principles is lean into it. And so that's something that I teach, you know, students and women around the country, is pick a lane. Like, you just have to really commit to something and see how you like it. You know, just try it on. If you've always wanted to be a speaker, go to a local chamber of commerce. Do a speech. See how you like it. You know, if it's something that you're like, oh, my gosh, I was so excited. Everyone really enjoyed it. I want to learn more about this. Okay, well, now you do more speeches, and now you get training, and now you go to coaching and conferences. Or, you know, let's say you've always wanted to be a doctor. You know, start taking those steps. I remember I was a teenager, and I ended up getting hurt. I was a cheerleader, and I fell from our pyramid. And the sports medicine team came and helped me. And so from that point on, I, like, quit cheerleading, became a sports medicine, was all into it, was going to be an orthopedic surgeon. And as soon as I got in, right when I got into college, I realized, I don't want to do this. I am not passionate about this. I had an internship that was just like, oh, no, I do not want to do surgery. So I pursued it with everything I had because I felt that that was my desire. But I think it's important to realize that desire and passion can change with time. And so sometimes you just have to make a decision and commit 110% to it. And then you can kind of figure out, you know, what works with you. When I'm working with young people, I let them know, do an internship. You know, if I'm working with, you know, adults, I tell them, do an apprenticeship. You know, just call someone up and say, hey, is it okay if I grab your coffee? You know, I always had interns at the TV station. Mm-hmm. And even if they weren't in my department, let's say they were in sales, but they wanted to be TV personalities, I would take them along with me on commercials and client meetings so they can get the behind-the-scenes view. Because a lot of times we don't really know what we want until we're in the position because we're generally only seeing like 20 to 50% of what's actually going on. And so until you see the behind-the-scenes curtains of the whole process and really the work that's required to do different things, then you really don't have the right perspective to decide. So it's better to just jump and appreciate the experience because it even says in the book, you know, failure is what will propel you forward. You know, so mm-hmm. you don't really lose anything by jumping or, you know, trying something new.
Yeah, Jessica, I love that. I love the try it on philosophy. I tell a lot of students that, and as I teach also, that, you know what, jumping into an internship, oftentimes an unpaid internship, to really understand what's going on in that industry and that job will really be an eye opener for you on so many labels, on so many levels. Excuse me. But if you don't try it on, if you don't, you know, give it a test run, you'll never know. You'll just think you know, but you never really know unless you just commit to it. And thank you so much for sharing that. But I want to go to our other host, Anne Ursula Fagin. Forgive me, I don't want to act like I'm hogging the show here with Jessica. So after this next commercial break, we are going to have Anne Ursula and Fagin, Jessica, ask you a ton of questions. So maybe not a ton, but at least a few questions around this desire chapter of this phenomenal book. So stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Take a listen to this next commercial break because, again, it will enlighten you and have you thinking more about Think and Grow Rich.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. Or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind. Our special guest this morning is Jessica Lundy, and she has a phenomenal past, a phenomenal experiences that she's sharing with us, all surrounded by this desire chapter of Think and Grow Rich. But Jessica, I want to reintroduce Anne McNeil to you, who is our master builder. Anne, I know you have a question or probably questions for Jessica, so please share with us.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jessica, you know, one of my favorite parts of this particular chapter, Napoleon Hill talks about the desire, starting with the 6 steps to riches that he shares. And I'd like to just, for those who might be listening in for the very first time, I'd like to just mention those. And then my question to you is, I know Napoleon Hill says to us, these are 6 steps. The first step, he says, is fix in your mind the exact amount of money you desire. The second step, he tells us to determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the money. The third step, he says, establish a definite date. The fourth step, he mentions, to create a definite plan for carrying out your desire. The fifth step is write out a clear, concise statement for the amount of money you intend to acquire. Name the time, limit for its acquisition and state what you intend to give in return for the money, and then to describe it. The sixth step, he says, to read your statement aloud twice daily, once upon arising in the morning and then once prior to retiring at night. My question I'd like for you to share is, what steps, you know, are you taking to turn your burning desire into reality?
First, I would like to say I'm taking all those steps, because I think sometimes, you know, a lot of people wonder why they are not successful. And the big reason is because they do not follow the rules and they do not follow the steps. And so if Napoleon Hill has had all of this success, and everyone that's mentioned with the stories and history, and it's so inspiring, why deviate from the process? Why deviate from what's working? And so I try to be intentional by having an alarm set at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. to do my affirmation. And then I think what was really important to me, you know, with your burning desire, and I know this is way later on in the book, but either having, you know, masterminds and accountability partners, because sometimes you can get into such a routine with doing things that you're not really doing it with passion. And something that I always tell people when they're doing their statement is to say it with passion, to say it with belief, and most importantly, say it in faith. You have to really believe that the amount that you write down or the intention that you create is really going to come to pass. And if there's any doubt and unbelief in you, it most likely won't happen.
Awesome. Awesome. I appreciate that. And really as a follow-up to that question, can you give us an example of maybe something that you've done that relates to these six steps that you feel comfortable just sharing with the audience, to just share how it actually works in real life?
Absolutely. So I'm thankful to be a part of a mastermind with the Black NSA, National Speakers Association, and we talk about the Think and Grow Rich principles. And when I first started the group, you know, I've been doing affirmations my life. Some people call me the queen of affirmations. So I'm like, okay, I got this. But then after you're not really seeing any change in your number, you're not seeing any progress, I was shifting my faith. I could tell, you know, 1 week would go by, the next week would go by, and you're like, man, is this going to work? At some point, I had to make a decision that despite what I saw, as long as I remained consistent to the process, that I would be successful. And the exciting thing is I actually ended up surpassing the financial goal that I set. And I believe it was because I trusted the process. I didn't try to overthink it. I didn't try to play God. I just tried to play my role. And I think that's really the most important thing, is submitting to the process, submitting to the unknown, and being 100% in faith that your desire will come to pass.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jessica, I love that. I love what I even took away from that, with that example you just provided there, was you have to have the perseverance in the midst of this desire, because you may not see results in the first day, in the first week, in the first month, in the first year. But if you are persevering through this desire, through this passion, you know, positive outcomes are definitely going to come back around for you, as long as you are following the steps and persevering through this process. So thank you so much for sharing that relative to your own experience. Ursula, I got to ask you to ask some questions for Jessica here. I also want to let those of you who are listening in the audience know that, hey, this conversation is open to you as well. Don't forget, you can dial 661-554-9219 and hit #1 if you want to join us and ask a question to Jessica this morning. But Ursula, what is your question for Jessica?
Well, she just answered it, because what was on my mind was, how do you press through trials and tribulations? And what Jessica, you just said was, you stay consistent to the process and play your role. So my question now is, how do you stay consistent to the process, and what does your role look like when you're on a mission to achieve your desire?
Okay, so I'll go backwards first and elaborate more on the trial and tribulations, because something else came up. If Thomas Edison can fail 10,000 times, I can at least try. You know what I mean? Like, when you look at people that are successful, we always focus on their success, but we rarely take a deep dive into the amount of times they persevered, which would be considered failure, but it's just really steps to propel us to success. So I think that's important. I think you have to be really clear on your why you were created, why you picked this desire. That's really what pushes me when I don't feel motivated, because sometimes I don't feel like, you know, as a youth speaker, I don't feel like reaching out to schools, and I don't want to deal with rejection. But when I think about the thousands of students that I've helped so far, especially the at-risk youth, and how their lives have changed, and how they followed up with me and said, you gave me hope, and I feel like I can make it, and no one else has listened to me before, and you said something that resonated with me, well, that's my why. So even if failure comes, trials, tribulations, we do have a personal life outside of business, so, family issues can come up. Nothing can sway me from my goal, because I know what I was created to do. So I always tell people, when you're picking your intention and you're picking your desire, pick something that is bigger than you, because on the days that you don't feel like getting out of the bed, something more than money has to drive you.
You know, all of that is just wonderful, but you just reminded me of something the president of GTE Data Services used to say, Mr. Don Hayes. He said that people can do any what if they know why. And that's why I remember that man's name, because that resonated with me, and you just reminded me of the importance of if you know why you're doing something, then you can do anything, as long as you're settled in the fact that you know that this is what you want to do and why you want to do it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Again, great question, Ursula. Awesome response there, Jessica. Even just thinking about Thomas Edison and his journey. I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and there was a gentleman on the podcast, and he was saying it took 7 years for him to make a sale in his business. And I was just thinking, 7 years, how many of us are that patient, that could persevere that long in their goals to just reach a revenue in 7 years? And talk about having a passion. I think that kind of defined that from that gentleman's perspective as well. Pagin, I haven't forgot about you. I know you want to jump in here and ask some questions to Jessica, and I know you got some. I know you're chomping at the bit, because you haven't asked questions in a few weeks here. So, Pagin, please jump on in.
Well, two things. I'm laughing because I'm thinking, okay, it's taken me 10 years to make one sale for an online membership that I've been working on for 10 years. And all I kept on saying during all that, I guess people would call it failure, I was calling it education. And so thank you for sharing that. So I have a question for you, Jessica, because I think that it's really important about, I understand that knowing your why, but how do you know that you're at the burning desire level? Like, I know over the 30 years that I've been business, there are times where I've just been, you know, is this the burning desire? Of course, now I know what the burning desire is, but I want to hear from your perspective, is how do you know that you're at the burning desire level?
Thank you, Resnick. That's a great question. So, it took me a while to understand that. When I realized I was at the burning desire level was
when I realized, when I was, I thought my whole life I wanted to be a TV host. I love interviewing people. That's my favorite thing to do, is learning about people and promoting their business. And I just love that literally my entire life. That's what I used to do when in beauty pageants. I'd always win best interview. But once I spoke on stage to students, my desire shifted to the point where I was willing to quit my job and career with no prospect to pursue something that I had no clue if it was going to work. So in my opinion, that was the ultimate burning desire, because what would happen was I'd be at work and I'd be thinking about the kids, and I would be interviewing other people, and I'd be thinking, how can I speak at another school? How can I go to a career day? How can I do this? And so it ends up becoming these constant thoughts that will take over your brain. At that point, you have to submit to it because it's not going anywhere. It has become an all-consuming thought. And so then your brain will go into autopilot and start creating a plan for something that you might not have even said out of your mouth what you wanted to come to pass. But that's why you have to trust the process. You have to trust the process that, you know, God or, you know, whatever you believe is leading and guiding you in the direction that you were created to do. So for me, it was like, I'm constantly thinking about this. I can't focus on other tasks. I've got to do this just so I can get some peace. And then if the thing that is your burning desire also brings you joy, well, I mean, it's a no-brainer at that point. So things have to come into motion. And, you know, I think it's important to stay in an attitude of gratitude. You know, I always say everyone should be an entrepreneur to some extent at some point in their life, because you learn so much about failure and success and how that affects your personality. As you do sales calls and do meetings and experience rejection. So, you know, I just think that's an important step for people is, you know, the people you surround yourself around too, you know, they will let you know. I always tell people, usually you're the last one to understand your desire. You tell your friends, they're like, of course you're going to be a fashion designer. You wear new clothes every day. You're constantly making new stuff. And then that's the confirmation that I feel like you get, that, okay, I'm in the right direction. It's usually not a surprise to your friends or family. That's what I've noticed with the things that I've been passionate about and the things that my clients have been passionate about as well.
It's so funny that you're saying that, because as you were talking, I'm a speaker about youth and I'm a speaker about youth. So one of my friends has been Montel Williams, who was a speaker for youth. That's what he was driven to do. And he became a very, very, very famous and successful talk show host, focusing on young people. So you'll be there. You'll get that. You just, your focus is on the kids, not on the tactics, is what I'm hearing. So there is something that you mentioned just a little bit about when you took the leap of faith and went out on your own. What is the cost to be a dreamer? You had to take big risks to do what you want. So what's the cost?
It's one of those things where it's kind of a twofold question. I always say it costs nothing to dream in general. I think more people need to be intentional about dreaming, like taking a pause button on life, closing your eyes, and visualizing what could be possible for your life. I had a mentor a while ago who told me to create a story, like it was a movie, on what my ideal life would look like. I got really clear on what that looked like. And that really has been driving me for the last few years. But it can cost everything. It can cost everything, and it can cost nothing to bet on yourself. But what I knew is that if I really have a burning desire, and I really feel like I was created to do this, that I couldn't fail. Failure, to me, was not an option. I might try and try again. I might have months that are excellent and months that are quiet, but I will never fail because I'm making an impact in changing a generation. That's why I say that your why has to be bigger than you, because failure is very relative. And for me, I know that I'm changing the world one student at a time. So I couldn't fail. And I think that's where you have to get to, where you're really making an impact with your business, or you're really making an impact in your career, where it's greater than just money driving you, and you know that you're changing the world or making an impact in the way that you can. Because it looks different. Like I tell you, everybody doesn't have to be a world changer. But you can be the most happy and smiling customer service person that I've ever experienced in my life. You can be the best at whatever you desire to do if you give 110%.
Yeah, I love the line that you just said. Failure is relative, and failure is relative, especially when you have multiple ways to describe your success. So if you're impacting youth and you've done that, that's a success. Even if another goal was financial, you know, it's just relative where you choose to keep your eyes focused on and looking at. Great job.
Thank you. And then do you mind if I add one more thing to that?
Absolutely.
So I don't mind.
Just do it.
I will say, like Ms. Ann always tells me, you still gotta make financial a priority. So it's not that I'm saying go all in and hope for the best. You still got to survive, right? You still have to make a living, and I have expensive taste. So, you know, I still had to make money. And so that's why you have to invest. Later on in the book, it talks about specialized knowledge. You know, you have to have the right resources to make a profit from your passion. The desire is number one, because you gotta have a point. You gotta have a starting point to know where to go. But that's why we do the statement, because you gotta be clear about your financial goals. You can change the world and be a millionaire. So I think it's important, you know, for creatives and entrepreneurs to know, yes, you can change the world. You can do great things. But you can be wealthy at the same time. It doesn't have to be one or the other. They can be mirrored together.
Yeah. Absolutely. Agreed. Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome stuff. Pagin, thank you so much for those questions. Jessica, I'm taking notes. I'm digesting everything that you're saying as well. So thank you so much for just, again, sharing your world with us and sharing your experiences that you've utilized Think and Grow Rich to kind of expand upon as well. I love that last part, especially about you don't have to choose between, you know, the financials and other. They can be married together. So, yeah, kudos to you for mentioning that as well. We're getting ready to go to another commercial break, and where we're going to talk about the Think and Grow Rich annual accountability meeting. On the flip side of this commercial, I'm going to ask Ann to come on in and talk about the annual accountability meeting that just happened. Jessica, we are not done with you. I want to kind of get some quick takeaways on the flip side as well. But let's go ahead and start with this commercial break.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back with the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind Show with Jessica Lundy as our special guest. But I'm going to ask Ann McNeil to come on in and talk about our Think and Grow Rich annual accountability meeting. And, you know, if I had to take a page from Jessica, this desire thing here is such an integral part of someone's journey who wants to be successful in their life, no matter what success looks like for them. And this Think and Grow Rich annual accountability meeting really set it in place for me. I loved being there. I loved Boca Raton. Can you tell us a little bit about what we experienced, but then also about next year's as well?
Absolutely, Peter. And I think that it should be a trio conversation because Ursula was able to also be there, Galen, yourself, and we were keeping you lifted up in prayer for game. And I had some conversation with Jessica. We were coaching together, and she's looking forward to joining us next year. Right, Jessica?
Absolutely.
Right. I like to share, Peter, I've always talked about for each of us as we were preparing to go into the annual meeting. And for those who may be listening for the very first time and wondering what is this annual meeting that we're talking about, it is a place of accountability where we as masterminders internationally come together in Boca Raton at the Embassy Suites. This year was the first Saturday, but because the first Saturday next year is going to fall on the actual day of New Year, it will be the second Saturday. And those details are already on the Eventbrite, and they're also scrolling as a part of this show. But I would like to encourage everyone to think about where do you go, where can you go with your family, children, grandchildren, at least once a year, and be held accountable for every area of your life. We talked about the six steps to riches that Napoleon Hill talks about. How much money do you want, and so on. But just imagine if you had to go somewhere, beginning of the year, and go before a tribunal, and that tribunal gets to decide based upon what you did with your current 365 days, if in fact you get to have another 365 days, based upon whether or not you actually did what you said you were going to do for the last 365 days. So that's what this annual meeting of accountability is like. It's a place where we come and we bring our life in writing. Every single area of our life, from the spiritual to the financial, family to the health, personal development, the education, your business, your career, your recreation, your civic, your creativity, all of these different areas of our lives, we do a survey, and I think for those who came for the very first time, and we don't allow people to enter the room if your survey has not been completed. And the survey simply is just a self-assessment of where are you at this point in life. And then you turn that survey into us before you leave at the end of the day, and you keep a copy and we keep a copy. When you come back the next year, we give you your survey back and you're able to see how far you've come, what did you have a no, what did you have a yes in. And we've been doing this now for, gosh, it's been since the 90s. And it is amazing to watch our family members from the children to the grandchildren grow up with this process and really have a place of accountability where they come. So those are my thoughts and comments about what we just shared this last weekend. For myself, it was a phenomenal experience because I also had to prepare and update my own annual report for my life. And what I like to do starting in November of every year, I shut down the entire month of December and I work on my accomplishments professionally and personally in every area of my life. And then I began to plan and have a strategic planning session for all of my businesses before the year ends. And those business plans become a part of my master plan for my next 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And right now I'm in my 40th year and I'm currently working on my plan for the next 40 years of my life. So that's it for me, Peter, and would love to hear any comments that Ursula may have and that you may have, and then we'll come back to you, Jessica. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Hi, this is Ursula, and yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I I absolutely had a wonderful time, and it was a triple benefit because I benefited, my daughter benefited, and her little six-year-old benefited, and I got to experience all of that. As quickly as I can, yes, my personal goals were addressed, and I came away with some ideas that I've already begun to implement, and I'm absolutely excited about that. But my daughter, when you bring your child to an event and then they force you to separate, and so you have no idea what's going on with her, and then when you come back, you find out that she was with someone that absolutely loved her, because that person reported back to me, your daughter is just this, and she just, it was Nofreda. Nofreda hugged me and told me how wonderful my child is. And that meant that at this point in time in my life, I can almost release my child to the world because the world gets her. They now know how wonderful she is. And that is a feeling like nobody's business. I'm telling you, I love that. And I say that because I know what a wonderful person said that to me about my daughter. And then the little six-year-old made a name for herself, and I later found out when I picked her up and asked her to give her name, my daughter said, well, she didn't really want to do that because I couldn't see her face. But when she opened her mouth, she said her name with clarity, how old she was, what school she went to, and that this was the first time that she was in this environment. And the room fell apart. I mean, they loved her because she was literally the littlest thing in the room. And then when they had an opportunity to do vision boards, all the young people went into another room and stayed together all day. And this is from 5 or 6 year old all the way up to college. So you had a mixture of experiences. And when they came back into the room to present their vision board, the coordinator asked four people. She announced that there will be four people that will share the vision boards with you. And then she turned around and she said, well, I guess it'll be five. And guess who that fifth person was? The little six-year-old that we brought. And she was determined that she was going to share her vision board. And she did it with grace. And I mean, it was, so that was like the icing on the cake. And then because the first night I gave her a dollar for doing such a good job, I guess that inspired the rest of the week, the rest of the weekend. And my daughter and she started talking about, well, what can you do with a dollar? And Mahogany is her name, actually said, well, I'm going to save my money and we're going to Disney World. So here, and the reason I share that is because a six-year-old had just made an affirmation. I am going to have $100 so that I can go to Disney World. And she figured out how she was going to do it. That's why she stepped forward on the day for the when they were presenting their vision boards, because she kind of figured out that, well, if I did that for a dollar and I present all this, then I might get more money. And she was right. They laughed at me when I walked over there and gave her $5. She was thrilled. But it worked. And she also knows she's not going to get money every time she does anything good, because she did some other things and she didn't get any money. So the whole point is you do something of value, you get rewarded, and whether you get rewarded or not, you know what your goal is. So I'm good. That was wonderful for me the whole time.
Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff, Ursula. Thank you so much for sharing that. That actually encapsulated it, especially from a different age group perspective as well. So thank you so much for sharing your experience at this Think and Grow Rich annual accountability meeting. We're going to do one more commercial break. And on the flip side of this, I'm going to ask everybody to give a short takeaway about this chapter on desire. Also how the audience can get in touch with you. And we're going to conclude with Jessica one last time as well. And so stay tuned and we'll be right back on the flip side.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
We are back here at the Think and Grow Rich Mastermind with Jessica Lundy. And Jessica, I want to ask you just a couple of questions before we go our separate ways this morning. A little bit about what you are working on currently, how the audience can get in touch with you, and maybe a nice way to kind of put a bow on this desire chapter.
Yeah, so I'm currently working on a school tour called Wake Up and Win with Jessica Lundy School Tour. I speak at high schools and colleges across the country on student success and leadership. I recently released a book called Wake Up and Win, Your Student Guide to Success, and the response has been absolutely incredible. I really think it is for students of all ages. And I also have an audio affirmation CD that really gives you the extra boost in and energy and excitement to get your day started with intention. You can find out information about all of that at jessicamlundy.com. You can find me anywhere on social media at JessicaLundyTV. And I just wanted to leave you with this line on page 32 from the book and Desire that says, "Awake, arise, and assert yourself, you dreamers of the world." And so always make the decision to be a dreamer and never lose that dream and that fire inside of you.
Love that. Love that. We all need to be really diving into our dreams and experience and fulfilling our dreams as well. And I'm going to ask you to share your biggest takeaways and how the audience can also get in touch with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jessica blessed me when she talked about looking into the eyes of the 8-year-old. And as she was talking, I just was thinking about this whole concept of how we use this book for every age group. And I started going back in my mind and remembering my grandson, Malachi Monroe, called me when he was second grade. I had him reading the book. He was visiting with his dad in the Bahamas, and he called me up. He said, "Grandma, I want to read to you my most favorite part of this book." And he said, "My bestest part of the book." And I said, "Okay." And then he started to recite, "I bargained with life for a penny, and life would pay no more." And as he continued to read that for me out of the book, I'm thinking to myself, "You're only 7 years old. How can this be the bestest? You know, you only had 7 years here." And so, Jessica, you really blessed me and you took me back there. And then when I heard Ursula talking about her granddaughter at 6 years old, I then remembered a young lady who came to one of these same meetings, just like your granddaughter. She was 12. Her name was Samantha Baker. She had her report, and it was literally on a balled up sheet of paper that she brought. And one of the goals that she put on that paper, just like your granddaughter did, she said, "I want to own 5 shares of Aflac stock." This was her goal. She read it in front of the room. And then she said, as a part of her plan, "I know my mommy," who happened to have been Nefreda Thomas, okay, full circle, "I know my mommy does not have any money, but I'm praying to God for it." Now, I want the world to listen to the end of this story. So, Jessica, I know we have to wrap up, but 1 week later, I took all of those same kids, which I do every year, and I'm getting ready to take them again, the first to Orlando, to the World Money Show, which is free. There were 3,000 people at this conference in Orlando at the Gaylord. 3,000 people. We were the only people of color. I brought the only kids in the whole room, and I do this every year, 20 years. what would be the likelihood that Aflac was one of the sponsors of the event? They had a drawing. They pulled one name. Can anybody guess the name of that person that they pulled out of that drawing? That 12-year-old girl, Samantha Baker. They didn't give her 10 shares. They didn't give her one share. They gave her 5 shares. This story resonated with Aflac so strongly that when Aflac did their annual report, they put this girl on the cover of the annual report for Aflac as the youngest investor. And I'm saying this with such passion. So this is what you did for me, Jessica, when you talked about passion, when you say your affirmation and enthusiasm. And I'm saying this with great enthusiasm because I'm feeling it, and then I'm emotionalizing this as if it just happened because I'm going back in that. Period. Because this is how serious what we're doing is. And oftentimes I even take it for granted. But we're changing lives. We're changing lives now. 20 years later, almost 20 years later, she just revisited Aflac this last year. And they did an update. So I just want to continue to encourage everybody who's listening to this show, please join us every year as we help you focus on your life. And Jessica, I really want to appreciate you because you really stirred up something in me today. And again, this is Ann McNeil, the Master Builder. You can reach me at Ann McNeil, that's MCNEILL.com. Back to you, Peter.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ann. Wow, what a powerful story that is. Definitely get if you are not connected with Ann McNeil, you need to be. That's all I can say. You just need to be. Ursula, you're up next on deck. Want to find out some of your biggest takeaways, but also how can the audience get in touch with you?
Thank you. There are so many. However, the one that resonated last was one student at a time. And if you can affect one life at a time, one student at a time, that's the world to that one person. So I'm holding on to that and affecting as many lives as possible, but I'm going for that one that I can make a difference. And you can get in touch with me by going to my website. It's sulatoo.com. That's SULATOO.com. Or you can get in touch with me at 813-368-1628. I know you have a story to tell, so let's get it told.
Awesome, awesome stuff, Ursula. Thank you so much for sharing. Pagin, hope you're doing well. Tell us what your biggest takeaway, but also tell us how the audience can get in touch with you, Pagin.
So I am here, sitting here, feeling intensely blessed and in awe between Jessica and Anne and her story right now. I'm like, so the power of desire, the power of knowing and stating and writing it down and being focused and being, as Anne just said, being enthusiastic and excited and thrilled that this is your burning desire, this is what you want, creates magnificent results. I am passionate, excited, determined. It is what I live for, what I was born for, was to transform the lives of women leaders in business, to ensure that women leaders worldwide can absolutely positively influence, impact, and inspire thousands more through their actions and deeds. And I was placed on this earth to provide the space for them to be elevated, inspired, educated, and engaged. I always say be bold, be brave, be seen, be heard, and everybody can find me at teampegine.com, TEAMPEGINE.com. I look forward to seeing everybody there. And that is Pegine and Pegine Power.
Awesome. Pagin Power. I like that, Pagin. Thank you so much for sharing with us. And ladies and gentlemen, I would have to say that, you know, this desire chapter that Jessica dove into really is one of the bookends of this. This is, for lack of a better word, no pun intended, a bookend of this text. You know, this desire is the first place you have to begin, and no matter what goal you are trying to achieve, you have to have a passion and a desire in order to even get to that goal. It doesn't have to be financial. It can be a life goal. It can be a travel goal. It can be whatever goal that you've described, that you're describing. Desire has to be the beginning point, that deep down passion for where you want to go. And Jessica mentioned the why behind it also, the why behind that desire. That's very, very important, because without that why, it oftentimes doesn't happen. So ladies and gentlemen, again, my name is Dr. Peter James. You can reach me on any social media platform at Dr. Peter A. James. That's at DrPeterAJames, all one word. I look forward to touching base with all of you at some point in the near future. Jessica, I have to thank you once again for being our distinguished guest. Congratulations with all your success, and may you continue to have continued success moving forward.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciate that.
Awesome, awesome. And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the first episode of 2020. And I will have to say, go out and get the textbook if you do not have it, this text, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And we look forward to seeing you again next week, same time, same place.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.